Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
500 years in the future, the Earth has been destroyed. Yet, civilization thrives in a Martian utopia of nerds. But that is the future.
Yeah, utopia is gonna have to wait.
This is Nerding Out with Ravy.
And we want to welcome everybody. It's an all-new Nerd Not podcast.
Hello,
with Ravy, Cameron, Randy.
What up?
Find us on social media, Nerd Not LA on Facebook and Twitter, Nerd Not on Instagram. At the end of the podcast, a comment of the week winner getting a $50 gift card from Box Lunch.
That is good news.
Today, we're going to check in with our good friend, Courtney, seeing how she's been doing with the COVID shutdown. She is working for Sony from home, so we'll see what she's been watching. And I can guarantee you, a whole lot of Animal Crossing. Because
yeah, I suspect. Yeah.
Anytime I turn my Switch on, 9 times out of 10, she's got her Switch on too.
Mm-hmm.
So, Animal Crossing. But want to spend a few minutes talking about some news. And we got some nuclear atomic big breaking news.
Oh my God.
That Cameron's going to deliver right here. Cameron, what do you got?
I'm just going to read it directly off the headline here.
Whose headline
is
it?
Hollywood Reporter.
Okay.
Says HBO Max will debut the Snyder Cut.
Shut.
Holy shit.
2021. Possibly in a 4-hour director's cut or in a 6 TV style chapters. Looks like Zack Snyder and his wife and producing partner Deborah Snyder received a call from their agent, and it's all official.
What?
It's all official.
What?
Son of a bitch!
I said I would see it when I believed it, to quote Vez.
Wow.
And it's actually going down?
Holy shit.
That's insane.
We have been.
That is huge.
We've been bamboozled. Remember everyone telling us, oh, it doesn't exist. It doesn't exist.
Wow.
You cannot trust anyone.
Zack Snyder told The Hollywood Reporter it will be an entirely new thing, and especially to those talking to those who have seen the released movie, a new experience apart from that movie. You probably saw 1/4 of what I did.
Wow.
Holy shit.
Wow.
Holy shit.
Now
this really has me excited.
Yeah. Wow.
Cameron, you're more familiar with the process of producing a film. Now, for something like that, all the stuff he has, is it already finalized work? Like done stuff, effects, everything?
Probably not.
Yeah,
probably
not. I would say there's probably a lot of effects work that has to be done.
They work with a lot of like, there's like a first round cut that goes, it's basically digital storyboarding. Like you have really rough looking CGI, just so you get an idea. And you don't really finalize the CGI and stuff until you have a picture locked movie.
Mm-hmm.
So there's going to have to be a lot of work going into this, which is why I think we're not seeing it until 2021. But if you think about it, a lot of this work can be done remotely.
Holy
doesn't have to be done collectively
crap.
In a studio.
Wow.
So do you think everything is going to be, all done, because it's 2021, we won't have any of that digital storyboard stuff? Or do you think they'll have to integrate some of that because they didn't film it?
I don't know.
That's a great question.
I hope it's all
That's
complete.
That's a great question.
Because but HBO Max just grabbed the world by the nuts and was like, hey guys.
Wow.
What
wow,
about
wow, we wow.
I'm very excited about this.
I was earlier this week on The Woody Show, I called the Snyder Cut Bigfoot because that's what it was to me. A complete myth.
I get it.
And now I said, I'll see it when I believe it. I'm believing it now.
I'm believing it because I'm seeing it.
Wow.
We said wow like 10 times because it's
dope
as crazy.
Shit. I wonder what form it'll come in. A huge movie. I bet
Dude,
it comes
I'd
in
down,
episodes.
I'd be down for either
I don't care how it comes out.
Oh, episodes?
What if it,
That'd be
what
so
if
cool.
it came out as episodes and then a Justice League show just came after it? Just continue it.
Son of a bitch.
All right, now you're getting too
Pump it
crazy.
In my veins.
No, I'm not. Why is that crazy? Did you ever think that the Snyder Cut would be a thing?
No, I HBO, said it was Bigfoot.
So back off, Rick.
HBO has a bunch of random properties. They've got Rick and Morty, South Park, Friends, Big Bang Theory. They're just like, you know what?
Right.
Fuck it. Let's start a show. What about that, Marvel?
Okay.
Snyder Cut.
Snyder Cut.
We're getting that.
Aquaman Show.
Aquaman Show. Wow.
Defender of the Deep.
Wow, wow, we wow.
I know.
All right, let's stay in the DC universe. Can you believe that Ruby Rose walked away from Batwoman?
What the hell?
One and done. She said she did not take the decision lightly. She really respects everybody involved and thanked everybody. Greg Berlanti thanked her, said they're going to recast and move on.
So a couple things, right? Number one, I'll be honest, not my favorite show.
Okay.
Yeah. We all watched the pilot at the very least. Has anybody else continued watching?
I've seen about
watching?
9 episodes.
And what do you think?
I think okay.
I don't hate it, but I think it's okay. Mm-hmm. What do you think is the reason here? Is it because did Ruby Rose get on this project? She thought maybe it was going to be a little bit bigger than it was or a little bit more impactful and it wasn't. And that's why she's going, bye, because streaming shows or HBO or something is more attractive to her? Or what is happening?
Honestly, my best guess is I think she didn't realize what it takes to do an hour-long network show.
You think so?
I don't know that she knew what a grind it was. She was on Orange is the New Black. Yes, that might have been a grind, but that was one season. And all I think she saw was, you know, all these seasons ahead of her.
Yeah.
She did get injured.
Oh, right, yeah.
Doing
right.
stunts. Maybe she didn't feel good.
Mm-hmm. And that might be it.
And it was just too much of a grind. I think that's my best guess, is that it was too much of a grind.
I thought that initially when I saw the report, because I know Ruby already has a reputation of being sort of an upper, you know, she's a big actress, per se. I wouldn't say massive, but,
right.
you know, a lot of people recognize her from Netflix.
Yeah.
Yep. And I was thinking, you know, it's kind of a culmination of a few things, because if you remember, not too long ago, they were talking about casting The Flash, and they're talking about why they wouldn't just cast The Flash on TV,
right.
why they want to go a different route. I'm thinking, if you're Ruby Rose, you probably think to yourself that, look, with my name value alone, based off of how people know me, maybe I deserve a role in bigger things. And I don't think maybe if she's in that role of Batwoman in the movie, or in the TV show, sorry, she's ever really going to be able to make the jump to the movies. Because think about it, if you're associating yourself with heroes, especially right now when heroes are the hot thing, you want to make that jump to movies. You don't want to just be The Flash from TV. You don't want to just be the Batwoman from TV.
I kind of see your point, and not to shit on the other CW shows, because there are a lot of people that like them, and you know, we have dabbled and enjoyed them as well, but there is a certain flashiness to a Netflix or a Disney Plus or an HBO even, or Amazon for something like The Boys, that has a little bit more appeal to artists, I think, than doing a network.
I mean, let's be honest, the CW is niche.
It is. Yeah, I mean, it definitely is.
Batwoman's a big hit in the context of the CW.
Yeah.
Right? And so you could have something there that maybe it's just a little bit too niche.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, putting all this work in for a show that 3 million people are going to watch.
Right.
Then again, it could really, it might not even necessarily even be the network, because look at the Marvel stuff on Netflix with Daredevil.
Yeah,
right.
And then the Punisher and stuff. So it might not necessarily just be the network. The way I saw it was, if she thinks that maybe she should be able to make that jump and be that character at a grander scale.
Right.
But you can't really do that if you're locked in the confines, like you said, of the grind of a network television show on the CW.
How old is Ruby Rose?
I would assume she's early 30s.
Take a guess, 33.
I think that
34.
It doesn't, and this is no offense to her, but I don't think that it's not a very natural fit to me. When you think when you look at everything else on the CW, like Grant Gustin, right?
Yeah.
He might be 30, he might be 35, I have no idea. But he plays a lot younger. He plays to a lot younger crowd.
Right.
I don't know that Ruby Rose does. I think Ruby Rose plays to people my age and older. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that people my age are necessarily digging into the CW shows the same way that other people do. I don't know.
Interesting. It was pretty shocking when it came out.
I'm seeing an article here right now, actually, after I Googled her to find her age. It says Ruby Rose's Batwoman exit described as not 100% her decision.
See, I was wondering that too, because maybe they're thinking kind of what I just said. Like, I don't know if it's a great fit.
Yeah.
You know, but okay, do you think it's the right thing to do in recasting? And continuing the show?
I think recasting, especially for a network show, with something as niche as DC's, you know, hero series, is a bad move. It's the beginning of the end.
The lead character.
Unless they can really salvage a show, considering, again, we don't hate it. We're sort of indifferent about it. But then again, you're not hearing people, you know, talking about how much they love Batwoman. It's sort of one of those things where...
Greg Berlanti said they have have it plotted out. They really like what they're doing with it, and that's why they're going with the recast.
It seems like the CW has more faith in their shows versus ABC did with the Marvel stuff. So I'm sure they'll stay on the air. I can't imagine canceling it. That's probably their baby. But
I do think there is a world in which they could steer the ship and it could work because Supergirl was a CBS show.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And while they didn't do a large recasting, they still retooled it for the CW where it kind of had its relaunch. So I could see they could figure it out.
Do you think maybe initially with the casting of Ruby, they chose her because they thought she's the right person to pick right now? And then as the show went along, they're like, you know what, maybe...
I don't know.
I mean, and maybe they didn't look much further into the casting other than this is a good-looking, popular lesbian.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Literally, that might just be it.
And Kate Kane is a lesbian. And so, and that's, I'm not speaking out of turn, that was a lot of the synergy that they promoted before the show premiered. So, I don't know. Super interesting. The truth is probably somewhere in the middle of what we just suggested. This is super interesting, you guys. This week is the one-year anniversary since the airing of the Game of Thrones finale.
I saw on my Facebook timeline a picture of all of us together.
Yeah. Well, it's been a year. Now, Carice Van Houten, who played Melisandre, she had some interesting thoughts. She did this interview with Insider. She said she loved the ending. Loved that Bran Stark was chosen as king. Quote, that's why I loved the first season. The guy who was actually king, Robert Baratheon, didn't want to be king. Mm-hmm. So we already got a lesson in the beginning. Why are you striving for that sort of power when obviously it doesn't make you happy?
Translated to David Benioff and D.B. Weiss, please cast me in all your future projects.
Okay. But then, this is interesting. She talked about the blowback against the final season, saying the fact that some people were so disappointed, Randy, is because everything before it was so good. She said she thought all the criticisms of the final season were just a sign of how good the show was. Mm. Which,
okay, I can see that point.
I am absolutely agreeing with that point. But then this is the part that really talked to me. She had a little bit, and we've talked about this a little bit, toxic fandom. And she said the petition calling for Weiss and Benioff to be replaced by new writers and make a new final season was, quote, beyond fandom. That's extremism. That's scary. Knowing the writers and know how fucking great they are, they didn't deserve that.
Okay.
I agree.
But, I mean, it comes with the territory, especially with a show like that. When you have that much anticipation and that much lead-off, it's like, are you going to act surprised that fans are this pissed off because the season's... And again, back to what you said
even
about...
Even I was surprised.
Yeah.
I mean, thought fans went...
Oh, yeah. Don't get me wrong.
Over the line.
I wasn't on the whole, like, I'm going to write a petition because I fucking hate this season. Nah, it is what it is. But to kind of based off the logic of hers, this show's so good because of how many people are upset about it. That's like me going to a Thai restaurant and being like, although the pad Thai is atrocious... Place is pretty great. No, just the season didn't. We've talked about this, and I just think that for to stand up and say this is a great season is sort of just it's almost pandering. Think about it. As far as this show goes, I saw a tweet the other day, and there was highlighting four pictures from the final season, and it said, quoted, I don't remember a show that was this forgotten this fast.
Ouch.
I do.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. I think that's a good point, Randy. I also think, though, you've been very critical of the last season. Right?
More than any of us.
But, like you just said right now, it wasn't good.
Yeah. Right.
And you kind of left it there.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of people not just leaving it there.
Right.
Which I don't understand.
You know, like, for example, I think we can use Star Wars as a good barometer
Absolutely.
Here.
Absolutely. Yeah.
People's reaction to The Last Jedi was so insane. Like, if you look at the prequel movies, 1, 2, and 3, mm-hmm. that came out in the 90s and early 2000s, there were a lot of people that were not happy with those movies.
Right.
And the reaction was nowhere near
they weren't calling
the reaction
for jobs.
To The Last Jedi.
They weren't calling for redos.
People lost their friggin' minds.
Didn't the writers lose a job? Or not lose a job, but people were just turning out... Because D.B. Weiss and... Yeah, Benioff, weren't they up for a Star Wars thing?
They lost their Star Wars.
Yeah, they lost their Star Wars because of the fans.
And I think that is shitty.
Do you think there are any other fan bases as crazy as Thrones and Star Wars? Are there any other fandoms that stand up there with them?
Maybe Lord of the Rings, but nobody pays attention to Lord of the Rings fans.
I don't think currently.
I don't think
but
so
But I think if they ever reboot the Harry Potter movies in a modern day, that if they don't do those quote-unquote correctly or true to the books, that people will freak the F out.
That will be rough.
I actually think Marvel has surpassed Game of Thrones as far as crazy fans go. I don't think anybody
think
will
so?
Ever top
I see, I don't
Star
think
Wars.
So, because I don't think Marvel has toxic fans.
I don't, not nearly as much as other fan bases.
No way.
I don't think.
I mean, remember, Captain Marvel,
Captain Marvel came out, some people did not have the greatest response, but still was nowhere near, like there were not as many people calling for people's jobs and stuff like that. That's, I think, the effed up thing.
And I feel like all the criticisms against Captain Marvel were more aimed at Brie Larson.
Yeah.
For her views.
Well, because my thing was, the reason why I thought Marvel fans were more toxic than the Game of Thrones fans was based off of, again, really Captain Marvel. People already shit on that movie and they downgraded so much before it even came out.
Yeah.
At least the people who watch Game of Thrones, they saw some episodes.
Yeah.
And in defense of those big floppy wieners, we saw a few episodes ourselves and we weren't the biggest fans either.
Fair enough.
I mean, I kind of get where that's coming from.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But again, the whole thing of calling for people's jobs, you need to chill out, dude.
For sure. So this is super rip-worthy, you guys.
Oh, yeah?
You know, I was late to the game.
Okay.
But loved season one of The Umbrella Academy.
Yeah.
Right.
When I finally got around to watching it, freaking loved it. Season two has been announced.
Hell yeah.
Drops on Netflix Friday, July 31st.
That's my birthday. Wow. Happy birthday, me. Umbrella Academy season two, rip.
Did you watch season one?
I did, yeah.
I saw an episode.
Did you watch it after I watched it or before I watched it?
I started watching it before you watched it, but I finished it after you finished it.
So yeah. Do you feel like it's a ripper?
Hell yeah. I love it.
Okay.
That was a show I enjoyed the first episode, and then I think we ended up watching something else collectively together.
Probably Manifest or something.
And then,
shit.
And then I forgot about it.
Dude,
you got to go back, dog.
Story of my life. I started an iPhone note for all that shit.
I know we always talk about it and we always say the same shit over and over again, but when it comes to stuff that's coming on streaming, it feels like I'm in a hole and I just keep getting buried.
I know.
Yep,
I know.
Totally get it.
More and more dirt. Timothy Olyphant, latest person to be announced for season two of The Mandalorian.
Crap.
I love Timothy. I love Justified. I love Deadwood.
He's very captivating.
He is going to be right at home in The Mandalorian season two.
Who will he play?
Don't know. Is it somebody who already exists?
Let's pretend for a second, because we don't know if it's a new character or a returning character in the Star Wars universe.
Right.
Let's pretend for a second it is a returning character or a character at least that we are already familiar with. Who could he play?
Hondo? I have my fingers crossed for either
Hondo
or Cad Bane.
Cad Bane. What?
I think Cad Bane's dead. What's the status of Cad Bane?
This is the hardest part of Star Wars for me.
I know.
Forward is.
I love Cad Bane so much, though.
Maybe Cad Bane is dead.
Cad Bane is the fucking best.
Something of that nature, though,
right,
is totally, it's not going to be, hunky-dory, fun character. It's going to be something mysterious, something Western-like, because that's his area of expertise. I think it's a great casting.
Right. For sure. Cad Bane would be so right at home. I don't know that if we saw him die, but I think when I was hoping that Cad Bane would show up in the final seasons of Rebels, that's when I found out he was dead.
Well, shit.
So I Googled it up.
Okay.
And what seems to be getting thrown around.
Okay.
Yeah. Number one, according to Game Radar, which said, according to /film, The Mandalorian Season 2 will feature Timothy Olyphant wearing Boba Fett's iconic armor, which then led me to another article which the name that was getting thrown around was Cobb Vanth.
Cobb Vanth.
Does that hold any weight to you?
No.
Guys?
That does not have a ring for me.
That's the name I keep seeing next to his
Vanth.
Name.
Hmm.
Okay.
It says here at the top of on the Wikipedia, in big bold letters, it says acquiring Mandalorian armor.
Right.
While little is known about his origins, Cobb was once a slave who had star-shaped scar tissues carved onto his back as a sign of ownership.
Ow.
Is the Battle of Endor. He freed himself and then became the self-appointed lawman of Freetown. And then
Freetown.
And it says blah, blah, blah. And then Charu obtained a chest of Mandalorian armor from a group of Jawa scavengers. And then it kind of just ends up in his hands.
Huh.
Okay.
So
interesting.
Down. I'm down for whatever.
So the place that pop in my face, like pop up here, Freetown, Battle of Endor, and then Tatooine. So
Freetown.
You think it's thrown
right up there
here.
With Exegol? The thing I am very happy about, you know, with quarantining and stay at home orders and all that stuff, time has been flying by, right? At a weird pace.
For us, it's hard it's to definitely keep track. Going at a weird pace. We're on our normal work schedule.
Yeah.
And so I think that's helped us.
Yeah. But even for other people who are, it's hard keeping track of days, no worries, because that just means the Mandalorian will be here sooner than you think.
I think the best part about all this, though, is that we have already been told the Mandalorian will not have any delays.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because if this was still up in the air and still in question,
I'd
be
losing
bad.
It.
So bad.
I have watched. Mm-hmm. I stepped off the island.
Okay.
Last weekend.
By choice, or did it die? The Switch die?
It didn't die.
Okay.
By choice.
Nice.
And I'm like, oh, I'm going to start Dead to Me season two.
Mm-hmm.
And then just like season one, the episodes just feed one into the other, into the other, into the other.
Yeah.
So I watched the whole thing.
Wow. Jesus, right.
On Saturday and Sunday.
And?
I would say I still like it. Okay. I still like it.
Okay. Yeah.
It's still ridiculous.
Of course.
The plot twists are crazy.
Yeah.
It's very soap opera-like.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I mean, I've been watching soap since I was a tiny child, and my grandmother would watch General Hospital at like 9:30 in the morning.
Well, you and I talked about how we watched that show Revenge.
Yeah, oh yeah.
This
Loved
is just
it.
Like a juicier, yes. more high production Revenge.
Yeah. Christina Applegate, fantastic.
Right.
Linda Cardellini is still so excellent.
Good.
She's my favorite.
Shout out to Linda.
I'll be back for season three. I really enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. I thought it clipped along very nicely. It's perfect escapist fun.
Okay.
Even though there's a ton of crying.
Same with the first season. There was so much crying in the first season.
I feel
season.
Like there's more in
really?
Season two. There's a ton of crying.
Okay. Any male crying?
Yeah.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
That's a refresher.
Interesting. All right.
Some men in touch with their emotions.
Some hot lesbian action. That's all I'll say if you're on the fence.
Between who?
If you're on the fence. Linda Cardellini and a new character.
Oh.
Who you are familiar with because she's Tom Haberford's wife in the later seasons.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Lucy.
Yeah.
That actress is in season two of Dead to Me.
Oh.
And she and Linda Cardellini, sparks.
I'll be watching.
Lucy the bartender.
But I really did like it. I mean,
good.
You know, Memorial Day weekend's coming up. If you're not sure, I don't know. Just go for it.
I wonder.
I think you'll find yourself engrossed.
Good advice.
I wonder in today's day and age with, again, there being so much stuff thrown at us content-wise, if every season really is as good as the prior one. It's just the fact that after one show, we just skip to another show, fall in love with that show, and then kind of have to like break up with it temporarily to go back to your old relationship with the other show you just recently broke up with.
Oh, yeah.
And then it's like, I don't know if this is as good as the last one.
It's all very sexual,
you know?
Randy. Cameron, have you seen anything lately that we need to know about?
Oh, you know what I watched?
What?
All of, very quickly, Barry.
Really?
You've been talking about Barry for a while now.
Since it debuted.
And oh my God, it's so good.
Yeah.
And I don't even know how to describe it to people.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's such a unique show. And I could see, like, if you think about it in terms of plot, right?
Right.
Like, the log line for the show would be something along the lines of a serial killer wants to stop killing.
Right.
And accidentally gets involved in an acting class and wants to become an actor.
Right.
Right. So that premise alone, it sounds like would be some kind of shitty web series.
Right.
That would not land. You know what I mean? Because,
right.
like, they're... You would think reading that one of the two options is going to come across more than the other, right? It's either going to be the comedy and the acting thing,
right.
or it's going to be the drama and the tension and the thriller version, but they do both.
And it mismatches.
It's such a good mismatch. I love Henry Winkler in it.
He's wonderful.
He's
Every
so
actor
good.
Is wonderful. Bill Hader
Every
is
actor.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
The guy who plays the bald guy. I forget his characters. Hank. Oh my God. He's like one
Brilliant.
Of my new favorite people
Brilliant.
Of life. But man.
Did you watch season one and two?
I did. I watched season one and two.
They do that one crazy episode where they end up killing this one girl's father.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like somebody who's like straight out of the jungle. You never know where she is or what's going on.
Yeah.
I'm like, what is happening in this episode?
I know.
Number one, they couldn't kill the father.
Yeah.
That episode might be one of the greatest 30 minutes of television you would ever see, because you wouldn't believe it. You couldn't describe it to someone.
No.
That's truly one of those episodes that has to be seen to be believed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes Barry such a cool show. They ended season one on such an incredible note.
Oh, my God.
You were just like, whoa. They went there and they did that.
And I love scenarios where the main character is somebody who's doing something very wrong.
Right.
But you're still cheering for them.
You're still rooting for them.
I love that.
Which is crazy.
Love that. And so I watched that, and then I just finished up Succession as well.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? Should I dive in?
I'm completely on the fence about it.
About whether I would like
about
it?
About whether you would like it.
Yeah.
I really like it.
I watched the pilot, and it did not imprint, and I didn't continue.
I agree. I watched, it took me, I would say, most of the first season to really get it.
Okay.
And to enjoy it. But I would say, I like it a lot for a lot of the same reasons I liked House of Cards, I think.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Because it's a constant struggle of who's going to end up on top,
mm-hmm.
and how are they going to trick, you know, their enemies into doing what they want and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And I love that, in case you're unfamiliar with the show, it's about this media mogul who has four kids that are involved in the business, and you're always trying to figure out which one of these four kids is going to get the business
right.
whenever he's done. And there's so many really good characters in it. Some of them burn out occasionally, but I think right when they do, they switch over to another one and you kind of, you know, latch on them instead. I don't know that you would be into it just for the reasons of there's a lot of like money talk and business talk and things like that.
That's why I don't like Billions. It bored me.
But I don't know.
Okay.
I'm in.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I'll try a few episodes past. You know, getting HBO Max, right? It'll be there.
Have you watched it, Randy?
If I enjoyed The Big Short, will I enjoy Succession?
I think you would. If you like The Big Short.
You've been watching the show for a while now, haven't you?
Yeah.
Okay. Because it's going to be silly. I've yet to see an episode, but I remember, I think a few months ago, Cameron mentioned the show and said how you need to get past the first episode and then it becomes a comedy. I guess because that's it gets better. It gets better.
There's a ton of humor in it.
Right.
Yeah. But it's very hidden.
Yeah.
And
the thing is, like, layered. I remember that, and I will talk to people and I will recommend them the show, or whenever they talk about it, I'll tell them, oh, you just gotta get past the first episode.
Yeah.
I'll be like, oh, okay. Like, oh, you're right, Randy. I just had to get past the first episode. Then it really picked up, even though I've never seen a freaking episode. But it's because Cameron said himself, you gotta get past the first episode. So, but I think I'm all in with HBO.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because
now that I have HBO Max, I'm like, you know what, dude, screw it. All the shows that I've been mean to watch, the majority of them are on HBO.
A lot of them
HBO.
Are on
Randy,
there?
Have you ever watched Eastbound and Down?
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to say, if you've never seen it, now's the time.
Yeah, I've seen, I never saw the final season because my free trial expired.
Yeah.
Watch it.
But especially with like HBO, I tried getting all through of Righteous Gemstones. I made it through a few episodes. I fell off. Maybe I should finish that up.
That's another pilot that didn't really imprint on me, and I never watched another episode.
I thought it was going to be so much funnier than it actually ended up being.
It gets better, but it's still, I would say, somewhere in the middle.
But like, even the shows that they're announcing that are coming out for HBO, like I know there's I think it's Lovecraftian Country.
Right.
Or something.
Oh, that looks dope.
Oh my God.
I think it's called Lovecraft Country.
There you go. Lovecraft Country. Jesus Christ.
I think.
That's what I'm really looking forward to. I've been meaning to get into Barry.
Oh, yeah.
Especially
because
it's half hour episodes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so super easy to get through.
And that's why I like Dead to Me, too, is because the episodes are nice and short, but not too short.
Yeah.
And you can watch it and then kind of move on.
Now, for a show like Barry or Dead to Me, this is a silly question, but the episodes in a season, is it like a 10-episode season, or is it doubled because the episodes are shorter?
10.
It's 10? Okay. I think I can do that, actually.
You're good. Executive producing Lovecraft Country, Jordan Peele, J.J. Abrams.
Couple
people you may have heard of, but it looks really cool.
Dude, that
looks
show...
very scary. Monsters, feels very much like a Lovecraft novel.
Yeah.
It's
I saw the trailer.
It's going to be dope.
The second I saw that first monster, I'm like,
trailer looks scary as shit.
I'm in.
Yeah, all about Lovecraft Country.
Hell yes.
Got to put that on my list too. That list just keeps growing and growing.
Man.
All right, let's take a little break. We'll hear from Seabass, and when we get back, we're going to be checking in with Courtney. Sound good?
Sounds great.
Yeah.
Hey there, Nerd Out fans. Seabass from The Woody Show here, and I understand Randy was dipping his toes into the Atari 2600, and there is no better companion for all the gaming people are doing right now than Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, because you've got the classic taste of delicious whiskey blended with a peanut butter flavor, which is a savory, creamy, smooth, just slightly sweet blend that is absolutely perfect for your next gaming night, or day, or week, or whatever. Check out recipes at screwballwhiskey.com. That's Screwball with a K, or also online at Screwball Whiskey on Instagram. They have a great recipe section. Go check out their stories, especially. They're always throwing cocktails, and guest bartenders will come on there for every once in a while. I'll throw recipes in there. It's really a good daily follow to help you kind of reinvent and reimagine your screwball possibilities out there. And all we do is ask that you enjoy responsibly. Advertising by Screwball Spirits, LLC, San Marcos, California. Whiskey with natural flavors and caramel color, 35% alcohol by volume.
And we want to welcome you guys back to Nerdin' Out. I'm Ravy, Cameron,
hey,
Randy's
hey.
Here. And we're doing a little check-in with our good pal, Courtney.
Courtney!
What up? Hi.
How are you?
Oh, you know, living my dream of sitting on the couch all day watching TV.
Aren't you doing some work? Aren't you working?
I am working from home, luckily. I'm very blessed to still be working from home, but that also allows me a lot of time to watch TV.
Oh, well, what have you watched? What do we need to know about that you've enjoyed so much?
Have you guys watched Upload yet on Amazon?
You know, I think I am about one episode in.
So really invested in it.
And I like the concept so far.
What do you think, Courtney?
I don't know. It seems like a really tired trope, like the upload when you die.
Right.
But there's a really cool mystery aspect, and it's Greg Daniels, so it's really funny. Mm-hmm. And it's Robbie Amell, so it's really good looking.
Now I know why you're watching it.
No, it's actually really, I actually blew through the whole season. I already, you know, watched it all.
Sure.
So it was good. I really liked it.
Now, you're a Good Place fan, and a lot of reviews I've seen said, you know, it kind of goes down that road, but that the Good Place was a lot better.
They're two different shows.
Okay.
I mean, The Good Place was better, but it's like comparing, you know, apples and oranges.
So it's
they're still good.
Not quite as comparable as some people have suggested.
No, not really. Other than like the quote unquote afterlife aspect. They're different.
Busy guy, Greg Daniels.
Greg Daniels is a busy guy. I was listening to, I don't know, maybe it was his birthday or something.
Yeah.
But people were talking about him recently. I forgot he was involved with King of the Hill.
Was he really?
Oh.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know that.
Yeah. And so like Mike Judge was saying all these glowing things about him. And people were just glowing about Greg Daniels. It was nice.
Good on you, Greg.
So what are you working on, Courtney, when you're working from home? What are you doing?
Well, you know, all the television shows are kind of on a hiatus.
Right.
So my work responsibilities have shifted a lot to kind of figuring out how we're going to get up and going as soon as we can.
Okay. So what's the inside scoop on that?
A lot of your favorite Sony shows will be coming back pretty quickly once the restrictions are lifted, once Los Angeles lets us all go back to work. I think all of our shows are really in a good position. We're all poised to just kind of hit the ground running. So I don't think you'll be waiting too long for your favorite Sony shows.
What do you think sets are going to look like or be like when they do return?
Yeah.
Oh, super different. So, you know, I work on the lot and we shoot a lot of our shows on the lot. So we're going to be going back in phases. I don't even think I'll be going back until like the end of the year.
Oh, wow.
That's insane. In 2020. Wow. I've heard other people saying that back to the office is happening toward like December, maybe even January, February, which is nuts.
It's insane. The idea of working from my kitchen table for another like 6 months is
wow,
crushing. But it's good because we'll get the people that need to be on the lot will be on the lot. So the shows can get going with, you know, a skeleton crew.
So we'll get more Shark Tank ASAP is what you're saying.
Yeah.
I run the LA Times, that production companies, they're trying to go global. So they're trying to head to parts of the world where you're allowed to bring in crews and you're allowed to film.
Yeah. So are you going to Norway or something?
Yeah.
Yes. I'll actually be working from my new home in Switzerland.
Yeah.
It'll be great.
Go to New Zealand?
No. The virus is everywhere. So it's pretty much just whatever's cost efficient, really.
Mm-hmm. Now, you work in entertainment law. Does it give you the heebie-jeebies knowing that insurance companies are not going to be insuring productions if they have to shut down because of COVID? Like, are people's buttholes like kind of squeak shut because of that?
It sucks. It really does suck because everything's going to be so much more expensive.
Yeah.
Everything is going to be so much more expensive. Like, a little production is going to cost 2 times what it normally would. So there'll be really funny shows that, like, I got into Party Down, and that was like a smaller, not really well-known show at the time. And if it cost as much then to make now, you know, it never would be made. So I'm thinking it kind of sucks that these smaller, fun comedies that really like, turn into cult, that get cult followings, aren't going to be made. And that kind of sucks.
So how does this affect the pilot that the Nerd Now crew is going to get made?
Yeah.
That you promised us would
we
be a Sony
do it
television
with a skeleton
show.
Skeleton crew, Courtney.
Doesn't affect it at all. We'll figure it out.
Good.
We'll shoot in Alaska with the skeleton crew at all times.
Luckily, we'll do what we have to. Our production is the cheapest. So
yes.
Right.
We'll make it work.
Yeah. So we'll do a GoFundMe or something.
The show that we visit on the regular is not a Sony show. It's Superstore. And we visit their set
because
we're fans and they invite us.
Yeah.
And
they're nice people.
So being there on the Superstore set, it seemed to me that there is a really big crew. And a lot of that
massive
crew is watching things.
Yeah.
So do you think when people go back to work, like that crew is going to be pared down significantly?
Oh, yeah. I don't think you're going to see visitors on sets like that.
Oh, no.
Weak.
No.
I am scheduled to be an extra next season.
Yeah.
Yes. See, that's the thing. Extras are going to be losing a lot of work, too, because all these crowd scenes that people are shooting, like, you know, for big movies, there's huge crowd scenes. Like in Marvel movies, you see 100 people running down the street, and that's not going to happen.
But we can CGI Ravy into that, so we can still make it happen.
It'll actually just be 100 Ravies running down the street.
But to answer your question, Rave, I do think that there's a world, because when we were on the Superstore set, our friend Trevor was showing us, like, the iPad technology that they use for all the different departments to watch, like what the cameras are doing for continuity purposes, for makeup purposes, you know, the script supervisors watching and all that. So I can see a world where those positions are still on the lot, but they're spread out.
Remote.
Maybe over in this building, maybe over in that building.
That makes sense.
And there's more radio communication than there has been in the past. And unfortunately, I think they're probably going to have to cut back on some of the food areas.
Oh, yeah. Craft services, man.
I mean, they had it
made. They're getting hit hard.
Ugh.
Real hard.
There was going to have to be like prepackaged meals and.
Yeah. Oh,
that
wow.
Grazing that they're using.
Yeah, weak.
Is there going to be a noticeable gap in programming coming up here?
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know because everything's still so up in the air. We have, you know, no studio knows. Disney doesn't know. Fox doesn't know. We don't know. No one knows when we're going to be able to be back up and running. So I think there will be some gaps in some shows.
Have you gotten like emails and stuff about changes that they're implementing on the Sony lot? Like, is everybody going to have to get their temperature checked? Is, you know, before you're even allowed on the lot, like that kind of stuff?
No, I haven't gotten an email like that.
Full body suits required.
Yeah, exactly. Like that. Every person gets like a suit.
Because we here at iHeart kind of got, you know, updated on different procedures that are going to be implementing. Because honestly, the Woody Show has been the only morning show in the building for about 2 months. So eventually people are going to have to come back in here. And so
That's the thing. You guys have been there. Like, you guys have been going in.
We have, but
I haven't set foot on the lot since like March. like super early
on. Wow.
Whenever other people filter back in here, there will be some changes.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
There's going to be tons of changes.
But we never had a craft services table, so
I know.
We're not going to be
we
missing that.
We lost our oh, craft boy. Services.
No trail mix.
Wait.
Son of a bitch.
I didn't have craft services either, guys. So.
No? Okay.
No.
What a world.
Right. Well, I do know. So you've been working.
Yeah.
Well, I know what you're working on more than your actual work. And that is your Animal Crossing island.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
You pretty much started at launch, right?
I started a week after launch.
Okay. Because, yeah. like, Courtney is far along. She's how many, terraformed the shit out of that
how
place.
How many hours per week would you say you dedicate to the craft that is Animal Crossing?
I mean, there's the thing where you can check how many hours you've played, and your friends can see how many hours you've
you're
played,
right.
and I'm just... I'm embarrassed that people go look and see how many hours I've played Animal
like,
Crossing.
I busted out our former phone screener, Danielle, who has been furloughed, and she's got over 200 hours.
Jeez.
On her
yeah.
Jeez. Well, where are you at, Rave?
Come like, on, what are you- Court, admit your number.
I don't have my Switch right here, but it's over 250.
Whoa!
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Whoa! You better make sure your bosses aren't hearing this.
How are your turnip prices?
Oh, the nips. The nips are doing well.
Yeah? And how about the turnips?
I'm
doing really well in the stock market.
Getting. So, the turnip game. What do you think it is, Courtney, that that Animal Crossing has become the game of quarantine?
I mean, honestly, look at the world around us. It is absolutely bananas. And then you have this little game where you can hang out with little animal people.
Cutie wooties.
And like run around and pick weeds. And it's just, it's mindless and it's so cute and fun.
You know what?
Here's the thing though, it's not mindless. Because
it isn't.
All of a sudden, once you're terraforming and changing up your island, you're like, oh my God, what am I going to do with this big blank space? It's become a little bit stressful.
Do you know what I think it is, though, Rave, honestly? Okay. What is the first thing that you do when you get home from work every day now?
Turn on the Switch.
And what do you do when you turn the Switch on?
I play Animal Crossing.
What on Animal Crossing do you do?
I check in with my friends.
Check in with your friends.
My turnip prices.
Mm-hmm. And that's something that you do every day.
Right.
So I think that part of what has made it such a big deal is...
there's routine.
That's the routine. And so it helps you feel a little bit more normalized... because you do have a routine. The routine might be Animal Crossing.
Right.
You might be checking turnip prices and not, you know, gas prices.
Right, right.
But I think that might be what it is.
And people want something to do.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing to do. You can't go out. You can't go to restaurants. Yeah. You essentially really can't do anything.
Right. So you have to spend 250 hours
plus
playing Animal Crossing.
Exactly.
You can come to my restaurant on my island in Animal
How
Crossing.
Else can you make your island look like Gotham or downtown Tokyo?
Right.
Spending 200 hours on Animal Crossing.
Oh, you've got to spend dumb hours doing it. Courtney, is there anything about Animal Crossing that you find particularly frustrating?
How long some things take. Like, when I want to move, like, one of my villagers' houses, I don't want to wait a day. Ugh. I want it to be instantaneous. It's a freaking video game. Just do it immediately.
God
And you know you want to build, like, a bridge here and an incline here.
Mm-hmm.
Nope.
But, like,
one
you can only do, like, one at a time. That is the most frustrating aspect.
So annoying.
For sure.
And I'm too much of a puss to time travel because I don't want to ruin the game or, like, lose a villager. So I don't time travel, so I have to do it the old-fashioned way.
Yeah, I'm not time traveling. Do you have a villager that you feel particularly connected to?
I do. I have this little dog.
Ravy has one, too.
This little dog. His name's Bones.
Hot.
And he's so cute. He wears all the clothes I give him, and if I give him something, it's displayed in his house immediately. It's just the cutest shit ever. I love him.
Ravy, who's your person again?
Flip.
Yeah.
Flip is my guy. Now, has Bones tried to leave the island, and you have refused?
No, another islander tried, and I was like, absolutely not. But, of course, the most annoying islander that I have, Limburg, this little annoying-ass rat mouse thing.
Yeah.
He refuses to leave.
What a dick.
And you're trying to kick him off?
I, like, literally hit him in the head with my bug catcher. I ignore him. I tell on him.
Wow.
Wow, you abuse him.
And nothing. Nothing.
Nothing.
Here's the thing. I have this one guy that I really don't like. His name is Boyd.
Uh-huh.
And so he was the first one that told me he wanted to leave. And the two responses that you could choose from seemed to me like they were both, well, good luck.
Uh-huh.
And I picked one and he came back with, well, I didn't know you cared that much. And I'm like, no, I don't.
Shit.
I don't care.
You got to push him into the river.
So today is the day that Simon leaves Wraith Cave.
Simon?
And I love Simon.
Well, look, Simon knows you've moved on to Flip. And
what's hurt?
Flip is news to me, Brave. What happened to your lesbian lover? What was her name?
Was that the anteater?
Who's my lesbian lover?
You know, when you showed me and Randy your island and we were making fun of you because your phone was on the floor and you were dropping your barbells off into the ocean or whatever that was. What happened to your lesbian friend?
My lesbian friend is still there. Well, Maddie.
See, Maddie is very, very jealous of Flip.
Maddie.
And now you have Simon in the mix. There's just too much going on.
Well, Simon is moving out, so I guess somebody will be moving in, whoever shows up at the campsite. But if somebody who shows up at the campsite is kind of a dick and I'm not into it, you don't have to invite them. Okay.
No.
Yeah.
But you got to be careful because I think the next person that comes will automatically move in. So you might have to go on like an island search for your next
one. Oh, boy.
Yeah, my girlfriend on her Animal Crossing, she's got a character named Eugene.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Who's a too cool for school koala.
Okay.
He has shades on. He's always such a dick.
Yeah.
Randy, again, you say your girlfriend's Animal Crossing. Yeah. I've seen you post pictures on your social media of you playing it. What's
up? I have, but I got the game just so she could play because she had nothing to do for quarantine. So I gave her the Switch. I wasn't even playing that much, and she cannot stop playing it.
Did she get rid of all those fish that she had stacked up?
She did. I guess there's a certain character or merchant that shows up on your island.
Oh, she's saving them.
Fish merchant?
Okay.
Like a CJ. Yeah, CJ. And she just
So she got a lot more money for them.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
CJ buys them for one and a half the price.
And then she has another character two more that really pop out of my head. There's one that's a squirrel.
Okay.
I think it's Agent S or something.
What?
It's like a stunt squirrel. It's got a helmet on.
Nice.
It's like
Shut
a stuntman.
Your
like
mouth.
Sandy from SpongeBob.
And there's another character. These are all characters I'm learning the few times I play. And then there's what I believe is a hedgehog, but it's a weightlifting hedgehog.
That's one of the things. There's always like a sports person or somebody who's into working out. I have like two of those guys.
Yeah.
Flip is one of them.
So you and Flip work out?
Tank is the other one. So if
Tank.
He's a rhino. So if Tank wants to leave, he's welcome to go anytime. But Simon was he was the character that has bugs on the floor.
Oh, right.
You know that person, he talks to his bugs and he likes snacks.
He's
so
a bug
I'm
talker.
Super down with Simon, but I eventually had to let somebody go and Simon was the next person to say he wanted to leave.
Well, bye, Simon.
I'm like, who am I to stand in your way? Simon
like trails. You got the boot because Ravy's obsessed with Flip and Maddie.
Okay, all right. This is total confessional about being addicted to Animal Crossing because I feel like I'm behind. I'm way behind, right?
No.
Because I started like a
month
after.
Everybody's at a different level, though.
You guys. So the prequel book to Hunger Games has come out. Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes. And so I have a hard copy, but I'm also considering buying the Audible copy so I can be listening to the book while working on the island.
Yes.
I think that's a great idea.
Over Memorial Day weekend. Because I have been listening to podcasts. And like I've really enjoyed Ken Jeong and Joel McHale doing their Darkest Timeline podcast. So I put podcasts on, and so I thought, I think I'll probably buy the Audible version of this book.
Do it.
So I can keep listening to the book and keep on freaking terraforming.
You can terraform. You can hang out with Maddie.
Yeah, sure.
You can listen to Hunger Games.
Yeah.
Might as well throw something else on like a second TV so you can watch a movie or something while you're doing
this. Yeah, just get another TV.
Get it all done, you know?
Courtney, what's your husband think of all your Animal Crossing time?
He doesn't care. He laughs at it because he's been playing Call of Duty.
Okay.
Oh.
So I was playing that with him and Animal Crossing, and then I was getting more and more into Animal Crossing, and now it's just completely separate. He does Call of Duty, and I play Animal Crossing.
Do you see any game on the horizon that you might put Animal Crossing down for?
Yeah, but not until October.
What is it?
It's the Star Wars game, the Lego Star Wars game that's coming out for Switch.
Yep.
That'll definitely make me put Animal Crossing down.
Yeah,
but again, that's
for
not
sure.
until
right.
October.
I did pre-order Paper Mario for Switch.
Oh, yeah.
So I pre-ordered that, and maybe I'll check it out. Because I don't know. But here's the thing on Animal Crossing. Will you ever be satisfied with your island?
No.
Isn't that kind of the point?
Switch it up. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Some people are saying once you get 5 stars and the island looks as good as you want it to, you're kind of bored with it. But
right. That's the... Like, I could picture that. But, you know, until I get 5 stars, I'm only at 3 stars. What's your stars? Four stars?
I'm at four.
You're at four stars?
I'm at four. Yeah. It's because I leave bugs and fish everywhere waiting for a flick. And
I see. Thing. You're doing what Randy's girlfriend's doing, waiting for the big prices on fish and bugs.
Exactly. And it's messy. She tells me it's messy and islanders have complained about it.
Well,
what a world.
What a world. Savage. Remember how much crap I had outside of my house?
Oh my God. It was like a garbage dump. I had to
clean all
she
that
She walked
up.
Over towards the beach. She's like, check it out. And there's just like golf clubs and dead bodies. Used condoms.
I had to get rid of all of it. I had to get rid of all of it.
Party
island. Yeah.
Well, Courtney, we're sorry we kept you away from Animal Crossing for such a long time.
Yeah, I got to get back to it.
But it was great to hear from you. Hope to see you again
in real life.
In the real world.
Yeah, not until like 2022, but okay. It'll be a great reunion.
But I've enjoyed seeing you virtually the times I've seen you on your island.
Aw.
We love, Court.
We love.
Bye.
All right, take care, okay?
Will do. You guys stay safe.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, fellas, how about we get a comment of the week winner?
Let's do that.
Yes.
It is from our post on Instagram. And what the hell is going on there, Cameron? Do you have any kind of backstory?
I have zero context. If you have not seen this video.
It's insane.
It's something that would piss me off if somebody did it to me. So if you go to Instagram at Nerdin' Out, you can see the video. It's somebody tossing a Star Destroyer built out of Legos over a railing onto the floor.
And it just explodes.
Obliterated.
Oh, like, my God.
Were they doing it as a prank? Were they legit pissed? Like,
no idea.
I know.
But imagine we took that Harry Potter Hogwarts castle that we all built.
Right.
12, 14 hours, whatever it was.
Right.
And if Randy just threw it into
just
the street.
Just ripped it. It's like, it's crazy.
Now, let me ask you a question. Would you be more upset if a person did it or if one of your pets did it?
Oh, God.
Person.
Think
person,
about it.
Because for
sure. If your cat knocks it over, you can't get mad
at
your
really
cat.
Do anything about that.
Imagine.
But a person, for sure.
What a day.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God. So, Nick Petroff commented, this calls for a Dothraki golden crown, followed by a throw into the Death Star reactor, only to have their remains consumed by the Demogorgon.
Yeah.
That is an impressive Game of Thrones, Star Wars, Stranger Things.
That is a hell of a punishment.
That is a three-peat comment right there. I'm so down with that. $50 box lunch gift card coming at you. You can find stuff for all of those fandoms and way more.
Oh, yeah.
At boxlunch.com. Now, next week, we're leaving the studio. Field trip once again to Casa de Rave. We're going to have the first look at HBO Max. HBO Max launches the 27th. That's the day we record. So we're going to leave here and we're going to go give our first impressions. HBO, I'm signed up.
Okay, can I give a quick pro tip to some people out there?
Yep.
If you happen to have HBO Max or HBO Now or HBO Go, like if you're a subscriber
to HBO in some form,
to HBO either, you know, online or whatever, you're probably paying $15 a month currently.
Right.
Cancel that and sign up for HBO Max, which will give you the HBO Go you already have, HBO Now you already have until Max comes out. But for $11.99 a month.
Right.
That's what I did.
That's $11.99. Yep.
The way I looked at it, I was thinking, you know, can I really afford another streaming service? But my rationale behind it was, it's only $11.99.
Right.
That's like if I cut back on eating out one day, I've already made up for it.
So what is it? It's at least like $6,000 or $7,000 a year you're saving right there.
You know?
So yeah, next week we're going to fire it up for the first time, HBO Max. So thank you guys for listening. Yeah. Thank you guys for interacting with us. You know we truly appreciate it. And we're going to catch you next week on Nerdin' Out.